Hey, fellow traveler. Welcome to the Third Eye Awakening podcast, a show where we talk all about spiritual and psychic awakening, magic, the shift from 3D to 5D, starseeds, ascension, multiple timelines, multiple dimensions, the universe, the multiverse, the Akashic records, all the good things. I am your host, Amy Blair, and I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Okay, let's do this. Hi, my friends. Welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. I guess this is like technically the second episode of 2024, but the first one was the energy report. So I feel like this is the first episode of 2024, but whatever, regardless, here we are, early 2024. How are you all feeling? I'm not going to lie, I'm struggling a little bit with exactly what I anticipated I was going to struggle with. And I've also got to say that the Nine of Wands card from the Year Ahead Tarot and Akashic Energy Reading report from last week, if you recall, the card for January was the Nine of Wands. And I, now that we're like, you know, a good ways into, almost halfway into January, I'm feeling like, yep, that's it. That's exactly it. I am getting so many cosmic downloads that I can barely handle it. I truly, really can. I'm struggling to sleep. My dreams are insane. I'm getting them all day long. It's not just while I'm sleeping. It's like all day, every day, just crazy. I don't know. I feel like I'm just hyper connected to something. It's kind of like the analogy of like before the internet happened, and then when we learned how to connect to the internet, it's like, whoa, there's information everywhere. It kind of feels like that. And the hard thing is that time is continuing to feel super compressed in a way that I don't feel like I have control over. Like every unit of time feels so short. I cannot believe that we are almost midway through January right now. It's blowing my mind. I know I've said it so many times. It's probably annoying to hear me say it again, but it is the truth. It is blowing my mind. I have so much to do, so much that I want to do. I'm just on all the time and doing so many year ahead readings right now. I don't seem to have a single solitary moment to integrate everything that's coming in. And it just feels, it's very challenging. I feel a little bit like I'm about to jump out of my skin all the time. And the divide between like being a human being grounded on earth with earth grounded shit that I have to do, like around having children for one thing. But also like yesterday I did a whole bunch of banking and financial stuff, and like having all that stuff to do while at the same time feeling like I have been blasted out farther into the cosmos than I have ever been. And I'm like straddling this huge divide of grounded life on earth. Gotta pay attention, gotta be here. And like, whew, all the way into the ethers. It's just, oh, it's a lot, my friends. It's a lot. I am truly feeling jumpy and even a little bit like kind of cranky sometimes. Like this morning I was feeling angry and I was like, what am I angry about? And I'm not really angry about anything. It's just the feeling of having so much energy coming in and not really having the time or the space to like, you know, integrate it with workouts or meditation or what have you. I will eventually, but right now I literally don't have a lick of time to put towards any of this. And it feels like just so much, yeah, almost like my circuits are on the brink of being blown out. And I even wanted to go punch my husband's punching bag. Like he has one of those like real punching bags. And I went downstairs this morning, just took 30 seconds to just like pummel it with my fist, which is so not my typical kind of the way the energy moves through me. I'm a much more still person. I'm not really like explosive and dynamic like that energetically. So anyway, it's a lot. It's a lot, but it's also really cool. Like the downloads I'm receiving, I'm consciously aware of what they are, but it's like just pouring in at a rate that I can't integrate and assimilate quickly enough. So it feels very uncomfortable, like there's just this huge backlog of stuff that's waiting to be filed, and I don't have the time to file it right now is what it feels like. But the things that I'm downloading are like so cool and so exciting. And I'm not saying this to, you know, whatever. I can't share it yet because I haven't filed it away. I haven't gone through all of it and categorized it and made sense of it yet. But I will share it as it integrates. Anyways, how are you guys doing? How are you feeling this January? How's it playing out for you? I would love to know. I love hearing from you. I honestly do. I know I don't email back or message back mostly. Like occasionally I will. It's just, I literally don't have the time. I don't. I get a lot of messages and I wish I could email back, but it makes me so happy to get them, and I read them, and believe me, like, you are received in my heart and my consciousness and my energy field. It just means a lot to hear from you when you take the time. And to that, I'm just going to say, you may have noticed, or you may not, I don't know, who cares? People probably aren't paying attention to me at all, but I have been MIA on Instagram, apart from on Monday the 8th, I was like, woohoo, first day back to work. And then I was like, I can't handle being here right now. But I have not been on Instagram since before the Christmas holiday. I literally don't have the bandwidth or capacity to social media right now. I also haven't been in Soul Space, and I don't have the available energy to do it. I don't know. That makes it sound like I'm like, I don't have the time for you people, but it's not like that at all. It's like, I don't have the time to sit down on Canva and come up with a clever post. Like, that's what I don't have the time for. It's just too much. And I'm also back in a place of being, like avoidant with my Instagram DMs. And this is the conclusion I've come to. If you want to reach me about anything, you want to tell me how much you love the podcast, you want to ask me a question, you want to ask me about my readings, you want to ask me about like some experience that you've had, you want to ask me about one of my courses, you just want to message me about whatever, please email me. Only email. Do not message me on Messenger. Do not message me on Instagram. I'm not mad at you for it or anything. Like, I'm not going to get mad at you if you do. If you don't hear this one podcast episode where I'm saying this and you message me in one of those places, I'm not upset. It's just I probably won't see it. And if I do see it, I won't see it for a long time. It's, I don't know what it is about like Messenger and Instagram DMs, but they stress me out to no end. I think it's because I can't organize them and categorize them. So with emails, like I can read it and I can tag it and I can move it to a folder. And then I know that later when I have time to go back and look at it, I will be able to find it. Whereas in my DMs, it just can like cascade out of control very quickly. And for that reason, I'm more like, ah, like I don't open any messages. So if you really want me to read what you are asking or saying or sharing, whatever, please use email. Because like I said, we will not delete it. And I say we because May helps me with this. She's like my Virgo superhero that helps me organize all my things. We will not delete it. We will categorize it. We both of us will be like, oh, this message came in and somebody will reply to it. And I got to say, May is really good at responding to customer service concerns. So especially if you are in a course or you want to buy a course or you're having trouble with any of your tech things or whatever, please message via email. Also, don't leave a message on the Heartbeat app because I don't always get notified about them. So just email only. That is my request. Thank you for fielding that request and hopefully entertaining it. Okay. So before I go into the introduction for today's podcast guest, I want to tell you about basically, I'll give you a little bit. I'll I'll spill the tea, to use the phrasing du jour, about some of the downloads I've been getting. So before Christmas, I shared about how I suddenly remembered, like, oh, I'm fae. Like, I belong to the group of beings that we would categorize as fairies. That's the word that we have for them. And I've known that my whole life. I've always known that silkies are real. I've always known, like, there are so many of those creatures that I just have always known are real. And I was like, I'm fae. I remember being a higher dimensional whatever, or a different dimensional being, a being from a different realm. And I remember coming here through a stargate. And I remember that there are these stargates in different parts of the world. I was piecing all this stuff together. The downloads that I'm getting are more of that, but way more complex. Like, huge pieces of the puzzle are being filled out. Stuff about, yeah, just the other dimensions. It's so hard to summarize. Again, this is because I haven't filed it all. Like, I haven't processed all of it, but it's along the lines of things I always talk about, okay? But it's with way more detail about what is going on, what is coming online for us right now, where we are in the whole entire saga, how to best use our energy, as well as, like, I think I'm just getting a lot of stuff to help people integrate their own walk-in experiences. And it, to me, there's almost no veil left. Now, I'm sure some of you feel totally separated from your past lives and the continuity of your soul consciousness. And you're kind of like, what are you talking about? There is a veil. But I feel like the veil is thinner than it ever has been. It's almost gone. It's almost completely disappeared. There's so much information that's coming through. And a lot of people are experiencing it spontaneously right now. And so I'm really feeling narrowed in on my focus, which is to help people access the Akashic Records, help people develop their psychic abilities, and help people to remember their higher dimensional consciousness and, you know, the role that they play out here, what their mission is, what their purpose is, and how to harness it. Also, like, how all creation works, all the, I don't know, whatever, all the stuff, how, like, manifestation, creation, all the things. Anyway, to that end, I have kind of like three main things that are coming up, you know, at this time. If you are feeling called to advance yourself in these areas, you want to join any of my things, this is what I've got going on. So my 3-month group mentorship program, The Avatar, I haven't decided when we're starting, only because I'm thrown off a little bit by how much information I'm receiving. It'll either be at the end of January or the beginning of February. Like, it's going to be soon, but I just need to get past these year ahead readings I'm doing so that I can, like, take a minute to breathe and let all of this settle with me a bit. But the purpose of this group mentorship is basically to anchor in your walk-in. Maybe you feel like you're not experiencing a walk-in, and then you're like, well, I guess it's not for me. I can't join this. I'm not having a walk-in. I'll tell you, like, for some people, the walk-in experience is totally mind-blowing and, like, undeniable. For others, it is super, super subtle, and people wouldn't necessarily call it that. In fact, one person I know who had the most insane walk-in experience I've ever heard anybody share that I know in person, she didn't even know that's what it was. That's not what she called it. She was just like, it was the craziest thing. But she wasn't like, an alien being walked into my body. And, like, it's just a term to use to try and describe basically the descent of your higher dimensional consciousness down into your physical body. The purpose of the Avatar is to help you process that, help you anchor it, but also to connect you to that higher dimensional self, to help sharpen your own, like, air quotes, memories. I don't know, memories implies that it's of the past, but, like, connect you with greater clarity to your own experience of who you are at a higher dimensional level. Because again, like I'm really, right now I'm speaking to those of us that feel like we are either starseeds or galactics or something to that effect, where we are definitely here for a reason. We're not just here to have a regular human incarnation and call it a day. We feel very, very motivated towards playing a part in the whole, you know, saga that is unfolding. And we're motivated to do so like on a spiritual level. So of course there's all the grounded pieces of that, like, you know, receiving money for it and where you fit it into your life and how to actually do it and all that. But underneath it, it's like the main motivator is just a call of your soul that you're here to do something or be part of something or play a certain role. So the Avatar is really, it's a 12-week group mentorship container to help you gain maximum clarity around this. Like I'm telling you, if there was ever a time that you want to harness my oracular abilities to connect with your higher dimensional self, it is now, because it's wide open, like not closed, zero closure, just like open. So I invite you to join that if it calls to you. We already have a whole bunch of people in, which I'm so excited about. But I say a whole bunch of people. It's not like it's like there's 100 people in it. There's like, I don't know, maybe 6 or 7 or 8 or something like that. But like, I'm so excited to get started on it. I've also recently decided that I'm going to throw in a couple of bonuses because I feel like there's so much background information that you all need to have in order to get up to speed and be able to hold all of what's coming in for you at this time. So I'm including in the Avatar, I'm including the entire masterpiece body of work that is Heartstar Creator. And then I'm going to include one other thing. I'm not 100% certain which one it is yet, but it's going to be a whole other one of my programs. So please join the Avatar. You will get personalized FaceTime with me where I will help you to like reconnect with your soul and your higher self, your higher dimensional self, and bring in all the good shit that you have been wanting to connect with for so long. But also, like, I'll tell you what I see for you, but I'm also going to guide you to be able to experience it for yourself so that it's not just you relying on what I tell you, but it's like you having your own empowered, personal, unique, like palpable experience. So join the Avatar and let's journey into the cosmos and the depths of the inner earth together. The other main offering that I have going right now is I am re-running into the Akasha for my 5th, possibly final live round. I'm not 100% sure. It feels like I don't think I'm ever going to run it in the same fashion that I've run it before ever again. I'm really excited about this. The majority of the focus is going to be on actually applying it and practicing it together. That was one of the most exciting features of the most recent round, round 4 that happened in July and August of 2023. A lot of really cool things happened when we went into the Akashic Records together. And I feel called to run it again and create even more space for that because I know you can do this. Like I said, the fucking veil is barely even there anymore. Like all you need to do is learn how to access the Akashic Records and then have some opportunity to practice and get feedback and get guidance and like troubleshoot where you feel like you're getting blocked because you have access to this, okay? Let me guide you into it. Let me show you the way. I'm so passionate about it. There is absolutely no reason to not be able to remember more of the continuity of your soul consciousness, meaning past lives, parallel lives, future timelines, like your starseed origins, all that, whatever calls to you, whatever is of interest to you. And then, of course, it's not limited to that as well. I mean, that's just what most of us think about, like past lives when we think about the Akashic Records, like the history of our soul. But the Akashic Records is really your... this really cheapens it the way I'm going to say this, but it's like your one-stop shop for all the things. Like there is no question you can't ask in the Akashic Records. There's no thing that you can't see. It's like the internet. It's like the real internet, not the tech-based internet, but like the organic non-local field of infinite information surrounding us at all times. Anyway, that is open for enrollment. We are starting in February. I can't wait. And then the third thing is my all-access pass. It's called Accelerated Ascension. It is an all-access pass. It is ridiculous savings. If you listen to my stuff and you're like, I just want it. I want it all. I don't know how to pick. It's hard for me to choose. What do I choose? The avatar, or do I choose Into the Akasha? Or do I choose the next live round of the Psychic Activation course? What do I do? Or do I choose one of the courses that's available on Amy's website? What do? Do you just join the All Access Pass? That's what you do. You join the All Access Pass. You get access to it all for an entire year, all the live rounds, all of the different programs and courses, the master classes, anything new that I create. You get access to things that are in my vault that are not available for purchase on my website. You get it all, my friend. And I can't wait to see you on the inside. We've had people join the All Access Pass too. It is going to be a total blast, and like, it will accelerate your ascension. There's so much content in there that people tell me that they binge my stuff. You don't have to binge me, but if you love my stuff and you love binging me, this is your dream come true. This is like, you could binge me probably every single day, every week for an entire year, and very likely not run out of stuff because I am a prolific creator. So the Avatar, Into the Akasha, and the All Access Pass. Please join me in any one of those that you feel called to. I can't wait to see you there. Okay, that all aside, I want to give you a little introduction to the conversation that I'm sharing today on the podcast, which is a conversation with my virtual friend, Lauren Meadowsweet. I say virtual because we've never met each other in person, but she's real. She's not AI. She's a real human person. And this is what I want to tell you about Lauren. Lauren is a fucking badass. She is a like serious badass. I knew this about her before she even realized that she had cancer. She was healing some very, very deep body stuff, root chakra stuff. Like, she is here clearing everybody's root chakra, okay, through her own physical body. I can tell when I found Lauren on YouTube, back when I was dealing with a lot of my physical ailments in 2021, I found her channel on YouTube, and I immediately just appreciated her authenticity. Like, she's a real person, and she is sharing so transparently and so vulnerably her journey in a way that is not like, I don't know, maybe I could call it tasteful, but what I mean is she's not doing it so that everybody's like, oh, poor Lauren. Like, she's literally just, she is living her soul purpose and her soul mission through this journey. And the reason I really wanted to showcase her on the podcast is because she is an amazing example of what I mean by soul purpose and soul mission. So the distinction I see is that her soul mission, like her personal reason as a soul for incarnating here, is the personal component of the healing that she's doing. I'm sure there are other pieces to it as well, because like I said, I mean, like, I have never met Lauren in person. There is so much more to her than I know. But she's shared so openly the journey that she's been on in learning about herself and about reality through this healing process. And she... as she heals her personal stuff, like, you know, relationship stuff with other people in her life and heals things within herself, a lot of that is soul purpose work. It's also soul mission work. Because I, right away when I found Lauren, I was watching her videos and I was like, this chick is like, she is doing grid work. She is healing the collective root chakra, like on such an intense personal level. And I just like, my hat's off to her. The way that she's so willing to do it. And I mean, like, by willing to do it, I mean, like, she's showing up for it. She's just, she's in it. You know, she's not, I don't feel like she's disassociated from the hard parts of her journey. She's like, I'm here. I'm hearing it. This is what it is. I'm present with it. And I'm truly honored to know her, and I'm truly floored by the power of what she's doing, the contribution that she's making. So I hope that you'll check her out on Instagram, or YouTube is the main place to check her out. And if you subscribe to her email newsletters, like, she sends really wonderful newsletters. Like, they're, it's like she's writing to you as a friend, and it's just, I love reading her emails. So you can check her out there. And obviously in the podcast episode towards the end, she talks about an event that she was planning on holding we recorded it back in November, basically. And then one of her most important mentors passed away. And so we just held off on the recording until she felt, I just waited until she felt ready or offered to re-record. And so obviously the date of what she was talking about, the offering, is past, and I apologize for that. But if you keep abreast with Lauren, like, you'll get so much value out of what she shares if you are, you know, called to her energy and you're called to just like witness her journey and support her through all of this, in whatever way, whether even it's just your love and support. And then also too, there was like this tiny micro Akashic reading that I did for her later in the conversation that, I don't know, I remember it, and I was like, oh, it was good. And at the same time, I was like scraping the surface. Lauren's one of those people that, like, long before I reached out to her to come on the podcast, I was like, oh my God, there's so much information in her Akashic records. And it's like, I can see the edges of it, but I see it like as though it's blurry, like it's behind of a gauzy curtain or something. Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't see it with clarity. It's not invasive. It's not like, oh, I can read her Akashic records whether she wants me to or not. But I could just see so much information there. And I still feel like I could probably give her like 10 Akashic readings and still feel like there's more there to give. Anyway, she's just a fascinating person and a beautiful soul. And her journey is one that I just really admire and marvel at, while at the same time holding space, like very real space, for how hard her journey is and the depth of the work that she's doing. Okay, without any further ado, I hope that you enjoy this conversation between myself and Lauren Meadowsweet about healing cancer naturally, stage 3 cancer, without the Western medical practices or really any like organized medical systems of healing. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Third Eye Awakening. I am so excited today to have Lauren Meadowsweet joining me for a conversation. She is currently healing herself from advanced stage 3 cancer without the medical system. She's using a combination of diet, lifestyle, and spiritual practices, and has already overcome record-breaking pesticide toxicity, Lyme's disease, liver damage, and being housebound and bedridden with illness. She is a certified nutritional therapy practitioner and specializes in the gut and psychology/physiology syndrome protocol And that is also referred to as gaps, which I think I've maybe talked about a couple times on the podcast, like probably a year-ish ago. But I'm so excited to have Lauren here because some of you are new listeners and you may not know, but some of you are older listeners. And I talked about, I think, in my episode about quantum leaping in at the end of September, but I quantum leapt in 2021. And part of the way that that manifested was a gigantic autoimmune flare up, like the likes of which I had never experienced before. And it left me with horrifying, patchy, red, inflamed rashes all over my face and my neck, my shoulders, chest, arms, and hands. And it was actually debilitating. There were like so many things that I couldn't do with myself. Like I could not immerse my hands in water. And obviously, going outside was absolutely a nightmare because there's no way to hide those rashes. No amount of makeup would ever have covered it. Plus, I just would have looked like a swollen, weird, like mutant anyway if I had managed to cover it. And so when I was going through that, I was naturally Googling the shit out of everything to try and figure out what I needed to do to fix this situation. And in my, rabbit holing, I did it on Google and on YouTube. And in my YouTube rabbit holing, I came across Lauren's YouTube channel. And she just really helped me so much because of her willingness to share the journey that she has been on. And I knew right away that I wanted to have her on my podcast. And here we are, all this time later. Lauren, thank you so much for being here. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm so glad you found me, and I'm so thankful to your rashes. And then I'm so thankful to mine. At one point, I was like completely covered from like head to toe in rashes. And I don't know specifically, if you were like searching for your rashes or what. I don't even know if I have like keyword rashes on my YouTube, but I'm just like, it just kind of goes to show you how you think something is like the worst thing that ever happened to you, and then it like brings you into your soul family and like discovering that you are even part of my audience, and then like realizing who you were and like becoming familiar with your work. I felt like I was doing something right because I'm like, oh my gosh, this woman is incredible. I'm so honored that you're, part of my work and can benefit from my work. And then, like, how much I've really been activated by yours as a result. So, this has been a conversation I've been really looking forward to. And it's like, yeah, thank you so much for this opportunity, by the way. But I'm also really just excited to hang out.
Totally. You all are just listening to a recorded hangout conversation. That's what's happening here.
Long awaited.
Yes. Yeah, well, that's just beautiful. I agree. Like, it's funny how the really hard things in our lives do bring gifts with them too. It doesn't mean that they're not hard. Like, it's not, we don't really have to classify them as one or the other. They can totally be hard and shitty, and we can wish that they're not happening. And we would love to just go without that whole experience. But it's really nice that they bring gifts along with them.
Gift wrapped in shit.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I found you through gaps because I had heard about gaps, I think, in 2017. And it rang a little bell. And when I first looked into it, I thought, oh, I can't do this because I didn't understand. I mean, it's such a complex protocol. I didn't understand it. And so I just saw the list of foods, and I'm super allergic to nuts, super allergic to dairy. Like, there were so many things where I was like, oh, clearly I can't actually do this. But it really stuck with me in there somewhere. And it came up a couple of times in the ensuing years. And then in 2021, when like my back was up against the wall and I was like, whoa, something has to majorly change. That's when I looked into it a little bit deeper, and that's how I found you. But I would love for you to share, since we are recording this and sharing it on the podcast, I would love for you to share with the listeners just a little bit about, like, kind of who you are, a more expanded version of your bio and the journey that you've been on. Yeah, just give us a little bit of Lauren.
Okay. Yeah, what a loaded question. It's kind of like interesting when it's like, yeah, like, explain more about yourself. Obviously, the advanced stage three cancer thing, I feel like can be, stands out. And I definitely didn't realize, like, I was the same way with GAPS, where I kind of had heard about it like years and years before. And then my back's up against the wall. And then, like years and years later, and it's like, okay, it kind of started a bipolar flare up. Like, I will tell you right now that cancer, autoimmune flare ups, bipolar, depression, PTSD, like, they're all labeled as ADD. I know you talked about like your numbers dyslexia. Like, it all comes from the same place. Like, we are not fragmented like that. I feel like it's very helpful to have a diagnosis sometimes, because it's like, oh, okay, now this validates my experience. Like, I understand what's going on. And if we like give something a name, then we can like dive into how we want to address it and like hold that space for like how we want to treat it. But there's this whole other level where you kind of like, and I've struggled with this immensely, basically like over identifying as a sick person and just being like, I am my disease. And like, part of my healing journey and like my spiritual journey is like letting that go and being like, this is something. This imbalance in my body is something that I'm experiencing, and it's making me better because it's asking me to show up for myself in ways that I wouldn't otherwise. But like, it does not define who I am. And basically, this is really trendy topic about, there's this like microbiome in our bodies, and like, growing up in like the generations we did, it was just like germs are bad, bacteria is bad. And then like kind of realizing later, like, oh, actually, like the number of beneficial bacteria to like actual cells in your body is like 10 to 1. And we have this whole like micro ecosystem inside of ourselves that gives us vitamins and detoxifies us from whatever we're exposed to in our environments, and like digests our food for us and assimilates nutrients and like produces neurotransmitters and like all these things that make us healthy and well. So it's really interesting because it's like, this really like broad term of like healing the gut, as it were. It's like, the first real warning signs I got were when I was like 14 and 15 years old and started having like a lot of like pretty serious like mental health issues. But that same imbalance is ultimately what led to my cancer as well. And I can like see that just through not only the lens of my education, but like my bodily experience over time, and just being like immersed in this field and this like kind of lens of awareness, however long I have. So basically, like, you hear about cancer and you automatically think of a person without hair who's like completely decrepit, the toilet, right? But cancer doesn't do that to people. Chemo does that to people. And basically, my journey with GAPS is like, and just like my body journey in general is like learning, like, when I restore these ecosystems and support my body in its detoxification process, like, I get better. And then, like, the lens that I see cancer through is that, Amy, like you mentioned my record-breaking pesticide toxicity in my intro. And like, basically when we have an overload of toxins and our body is too much for our body to handle, a tumor will grow around this. A bunch of, I mean, candida is kind of a hot topic too. Candida, I feel like parasite cleanses are kind of trendy, but like these are all actually opportunistic flora that are here to like protect us from the toxicity in our bodies. And so like everything has a purpose. I believe my body is like always working for me. And so I don't view cancer this like evil thing that I need to get rid of. I view it as something that my body uses to protect itself when nothing else could, and then giving it every reason to like not have to protect itself anymore. And so what I see, and like the vision that I see, is that there are so many pesticides which are full of toxic metals and all this other crap. And tumors can also form around Lyme disease, like Lyme, they're called Lyme spirochetes as mm-hmm. well. And it's just a way of protecting yourself. And some tumors are cancerous and some aren't, you know, but that's why, like, if you have a lump or something, you go and get it checked out, right? Because they have like more of a chance of being cancerous than some like random spot in your lymph. So basically a tumor forms around these, not only like these toxic chemicals, but all of the microorganisms around them that are kind of like, it's like, yeah, like, do you want to have like parasite and like candida overgrowth or parasite problems or whatever, or do you want to have like mercury poisoning? And so your body kind of like has to make that choice. And a tumor is literally like your own cells. It's like your body like forms this deal with this tumor, and it's like, okay, we're gonna build like a protein nest around this, and then there's like a bunch of toxicity inside, which, you know, for me it became cancer. But yeah, we view cancer as this really, really scary thing. And of course, I've been scared out of my mind like multiple times, but it's been really interesting because like when I look back on it, it wasn't actually like treating the cancer itself that was difficult. Like actually, like especially from my background and everything that I had previously been through, like that the actual tactical, practical part went really well, and like I transitioned into like pretty easily, and it was like effective, and there was like no, the drama was around, is my family going to accept the way that I want to treat this? Well, no, they're not. And I was housebound and bedridden and living with my parents. So now where am I going to go that's safe and supportive, and that I'm not just going to be in survival mode this whole time? I feel like a lot of my journey too around healing is like developing self-reliance and like really like trusting and believing that like I can do this, versus like, there was definitely a point, and I'm still in the midst of healing this, but there was like this point where I thought I was going to be dependent on people for the rest of my life, and that there was no way I was ever going to be able to do anything on my own. And it's really funny, I don't know, like a cosmic joke is like, yeah, I get this cancer diagnosis, get kicked out of my house by my very well-to-do parents who have always bailed me out previously. So I like come from this pretty like, you know, this place energetically where there's always kind of been this safety net. And then all of a sudden, you know, I have cancer and I'm homeless, and that's kind of what it took for me to be like, you know, now I live in like my own place by myself and like my dream location and all. I mean, that's a quantum leap. And it was absolute shit show getting there. And, you know, I wasn't really truly able to like transmute all that energy and until I became very transparent with the very, like, you know, relatively like modestly sized platform that I had online. But yeah, where I'm at now is like, you know, you can imagine there's so many ego deaths in that process. And it's really like fascinating to me because every time I have an ego death, it's actually like asking for more. We like kind of view the ego as it really is kind of this like false sense of entitlement without any like actual substance to back it up. It's like kind of like pretending to your like, yeah, I'm like, you can say like I'm worth it like oh so many times, but if you don't actually like truly believe it, then it's not going to be like reflected in your reality. And like it's actually been terrifying because like every time I have an ego death, it's like ask for more. And I'm like, no, I'm scared. Like, what do you mean ask for more? It's like, yeah, your actual like true authentic self is like worthy of so much more. And then my ego dies to kind of like catch up with like what my soul already knows. But yeah, that's like for those of you who don't know, that's how I became aware of Amy. It's like I didn't know that she had been watching me for like a year or two already. And she made like a very generous donation to my campaign when I was like, hey, you guys, like I actually like don't even know if I want to fight for my life. I just want to die and I'm homeless and I have cancer and like I'm at an all-time low and I just want to give up. And like I'm on this like very strict nutritional protocol, but like maybe I just want to like go eat a bunch of donuts and die and like, you know, feed the cancer slowly with sugar and like all this stuff. So, and I still remember it like wasn't even just the money. Of course, the money like totally helped and was like transformative in me, like being able to put down a deposit and like, you know, get a place of where I could like truly just like start healing. This is actually the first time I've ever felt safe in my entire life, and I didn't know that until I got here. That nothing to compare it to. And so like I really have been like just doing so much energetic, physical, and you know, transmutational work here. But I just remember Amy, and I had to look up what a grid worker was, and I'm gonna like butcher it a little bit, but she was like, you're like one of the most powerful grid workers I've ever seen, and you're like something about like doing this on the behalf of the collective, and like that like you like really like believed in me. And like for me, I felt like so seen. And then also just like confirmation that like, yeah, this is like my personal path, but it's not just about me. It's about like so much more. And yeah, I had to look up what a grid worker was. What is this? You know? And then yeah, when you followed me on Instagram, Amy, and it was like Amy Belair. I like realized who you really like what you were doing in your corner of the internet. And I was just like, oh my gosh, this is all meant to be. This is really cool. And I started like becoming a huge fan of yours. Anyway, that's kind of a roundabout part of, you know, I'm still healing my cancer. I'm still healing my relationship with money. I'm still healing, you know, like for those of you who know or understand, like my north node is in the second house. So it's like I'm coming from this place of like I'm, you know, I like merge with other people and like my power like comes from, you know, basically like sacrificing my own values to the point that like I don't even know who I am. And like I like come into this lifetime without any like values of my own. Like they've been compromised so much merging with powers that, you know, basically protected me and provided for me and made me feel safe to like venturing out on my own. And so it's like not even to paint my family or my parents like evil people or how could you like kick out your daughter when she had cancer? Like I really, I mean, that was like almost a year and a half ago at this point. And like, you know, just looking back on it and just like reflecting, I'm like, they're like I feel like I chose them. Like it's like they're part of my path too. Like if they hadn't, you know, been like, if you're not doing chemo, like you're not living here. Like I needed that. And I like needed that energy to like, I needed to get kicked out of the nest to really like start living my purpose. So it's just like, oh, a lot of root chakra stuff, like Amy tells me all the time. She's like, you're working through some massive root chakra stuff for the collective. And yeah, it is. It's so yeah, I don't have everything figured out, but I do feel like I'm on my divine path. I feel divinely supported. And also, I'm like totally putting myself into the unknown. And actually, it was like a week or two after I was like laying on my couch. Because, yeah, the place I manifested was like fully furnished. I don't own any furniture. But I was like laying on my couch and I was like, I think I feel safe for the first time. This is like, I think this is what safety feels like. And then a week or two later, I started getting detox rashes and it was from the tumors dying and shrinking. And I have a lot of experience navigating that kind of stuff. I thought my rashes were over. I hadn't gotten any and over a year or two. But, you know, it turns out that when tumors die and like disintegrate in your body, like all the toxicity inside of them releases. And then it's like a whole other layer of, they call it a healing crisis, a healing reaction, a healing experience.
Healing experience.
But that's what I'm going through right now. And yeah, Amy was, I have like rashes all over my face right now, which Amy was kind enough to show me pictures of her when she was going through her quantum leap. And like hearing your experience, like when hearing your explanation of quantum leap, it was just like, oh, maybe that's what I'm going through. But it's just like, yeah, it's horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. It'll make you question like everything about who you are and what you're doing. And for me, it was like so uncomfortable to go outside and have like the heat exacerbate it because it happened at like the height of summer. And like, yeah, it's not just the rashes, it's like the swelling and like the feeling of having like a gaping, like open wound, like all over your face. And like, yeah, like wherever your body and like your wherever your toe, like, oh my gosh. That was a test. My phone's on silent, I swear. It was like some like emergency, national emergency test or
Okay.
something. Like, what's going on? But yeah, it's just like a very, and I feel like that's like what happens when you're quantum leaping is like, can you keep your faith and like belief in yourself, even in these moments, right? Because it's easy to believe in yourself when things feel manageable and you're like feeling well emotionally and physically. And you're like, yeah, I got this. I have faith in the universe, like all this stuff. And then, like, a whole other level kind of just being energetically tested when it's like, okay, well, now we're going to give you an autoimmune flare. And now we're going to give you think you're like healing yourself from cancer. Well, do you still believe in yourself when there's this rash all over your face and you're like, pride yourself on kind of being able to pass as this able-bodied person and live like a quote-unquote normal life? And because you're not going through chemo and that's like part of your brand, and like, you know, we're gonna take away your money for a little bit, so like your income's gonna stall out, and then do you believe in God, and then do you believe in the universe, and then do you believe in yourself? Because I like, to me, those are all the same thing. And yeah, like, can you trust that, like, when you get the download that like you're on your divine path and you'll be provided for and like everything is okay, when your external reality doesn't reflect that, like, can you still believe in that? Because we're really trying, like, we're really like preparing you to hold something bigger than you can ever imagine. And we just want to make sure you're ready. And like, I just feel like my body has really like called me into like such a massive awakening. You know, you talk about like stepping out of like the false holographic matrix. And like, I really ultimately have my body to thank for that, because I feel like I've grieved normalcy and the idea of normalcy so much. And, you know, first like the GAPS protocol and being just so different in the way that I live my life, the food I eat, you know, my lifestyle, all this stuff. And then like, but every time I've had to like give up the like idea of being normal, quote unquote, I can look back, and sometimes it's years and years later, but I can look back and just be like, so thankful that I couldn't work a regular job, you know, and like,
right,
so thankful that my body wouldn't let me eat McDonald's, and just like so thankful that I was like severely allergic to wheat or whatever. And so thankful for these face rashes and like these rashes covering my body. That's like, you know, basically telling me what I needed before I even really knew what I needed. So yeah, I think that's like another layer. It's just what I'm going through is just like delving into trusting the process like even deeper and like even harder. And it's just like, okay, yeah, I like choose to be that person that is going to believe everything, believe in herself, and believe that like everything is working out even when like it does not appear to be that way. When I get out of, you know, my bed in the morning and like look at my bank account or like whatever it is, it's like, no, like I believe in something higher than me, and I've been so protected and provided for during this journey. Like if I really like look back at it, it's like, it's like if you like really like looked at my story, you'd be like, oh yeah, there's no way that could have happened without like something higher. Like there's no way I could have just done this with just me and like my human ego and my pure will. It's like, yeah, like God, source, universe, spirit, like they're like using my testimony to be like, we're real.
Yeah.
And so I just like decided to lean into that.
Yeah, totally. Like, and I want to emphasize too, because I have the benefit of having watched all of your YouTube videos. So I really want to emphasize too that it didn't start with the cancer. Like you said, you had some early signs of mental imbalance in your teenagehood, but if I'm correct, like you had that kind of stuff, but you thought it was just you, like you weren't really understanding where it was coming from and not really able to address things. And then a really pivotal moment was when you had some industrial grade pesticides spill onto your body, onto your directly onto your skin while you were at work. And that really, really turned things for you. So when you're talking about your cancer and like the mechanism of cancer and the way you see it, it's almost seems to me like it's a byproduct of that. Like this is just a long continuity of really intense, as I say, root chakra experiences around survival, around having a physical body, around the vulnerability of the physical body, so many different things. And your body has created, like you said, a protein like capsule around it, like concentrated a bunch of those heavy metal toxins that were not able to be successfully detoxed from your body through the gap stuff that you've done in years prior to finding out that you had cancer. And so your body was kind of like, well, we haven't gotten this out, so we have to just like amalgamate it and create a tumor around it so that it's like insulated and it's not just free circulating through your bloodstream and just like landing in tiny bits everywhere. And so now as you are dissolving this tumor, instead of attacking it with more chemical poison, you're dissolving it through like really profound inner work, as well as like physical grounded protocols, like diet-based things. And then I remember one of your emails, you were like, these are the things that I do every single day. And I was like, wow. No, like, of course you can't work. It's a full-time job to be with your body and just be like, be with your body. I mean, you work, but you don't work at a 9-to-5 job outside of the house. You work, as we were talking about before we press play, like you work around prioritizing your health, which is a really big, huge deal. And so like to have all of this, like years and years of really intense health things, and then find out that, oh, it's also cancer. And then find out that your parents are very, well, you already knew they were conventional. It's not like that was news to you, but that their worldview conflicted with the way that you chose to approach cancer. And they really didn't feel like they could support you through not getting chemo, because that's just what they believe is the necessary obvious step. And so then they're like, leave our house, and you're like, oh my God, where am I going to live? And all the things, like to lean into trust over and over and over. And then I'm not surprised at all that you get into this place where you're currently living and you're like, wow, I think I actually feel safe. And then your body was like, great, let's start detoxing. Okay, like we're finally safe to dissolve the cancer. So it's not even like you get to just sit there and be like, oh, this is what safety feels like. It's like, okay, we're safe. Now we're going to push you into another space that feels unsafe while your face, you know, blows up with detox. And yeah, it's just a lot. It's a really big thing to lean into that trust every day. And I'm certain that you have many, many, many very human moments where you aren't necessarily feeling that trust. But the point is that ultimately that's the default baseline that you keep bringing yourself back to by choice, rather than the default baseline of our, you know, our various like programs and trauma stories that would love to get the better of us, but you're consciously choosing to be like, I'm provided for. I don't know how, like, I know that sometimes you don't know how you're going to pay your rent. And that's a really, really like vulnerable space to be in, especially while you're dealing with illness many times over. So it's not like, even when your rent gets paid, it's not like you're like, oh, my rent is paid forever, so now I can really relax. It's like, okay, for the next 30 days, I'm cool. And then I kind of have to panic again as we get towards like the 21st, 22nd. And I start realizing like, oh God, what am I going to do? And it's just a lot. Yeah. When I was watching Lauren's YouTube videos before we ever connected, I literally was thinking like, this chick is a starseed and an indigo. And she is processing so much collective root chakra trauma, like so much like around survival, like I said, like survival in terms of your literal body's needs and its like ability to be alive, and then survival in terms of money, how are things going to get paid for, and then like the whole concept, like you said, of like illness and separating your self-identification from the illness so you can acknowledge that you are experiencing illness and you are so much more than illness. It's, yeah, it's a ton. I just hear, like, whenever you talk, I just hear so many layers, bullshit programs that we've received. And so as you're detoxing like physical toxins out of your body, I feel like you're like releasing layers of those bullshit programs out of your aura.
It's so spot on. It's so true. And like, you know, I'm sure you've experienced this too. Like, it doesn't take cancer, but like when you're going through like the physical detox process of like, yeah, like a healing protocol of any kind, there's so much emotional stuff that comes up with it. And it's really like quite fascinating to me that it's like, yeah, like, oh, surprise. Like, it was actually like, it's probably been cancer for like years and years and years, right? And you were healing from it, but you didn't know it was cancer, but now we know it's cancer. And so the stakes are higher and we get more clarity, but we also get more vulnerability too. And that there's so much programming around cancer, right? And but like something that I did get in those like in between moments when it was like, okay, your body is not different than it was yesterday, but today is the day that you found out that you have cancer, right? And like something like a download that I did get was like, yeah, but like the hard part's already over. Like, you already got through the worst part. I was housebound, bedridden, was like having, I had to like have appointments with my doctor like all the time. And that was years ago. And so it was, it's really like profound how showing up for yourself, even if you don't like quite know what's going on, like that's actually the most important part, you know? And like that maybe if I had known that it was cancer, like, you know, years and years and years ago, like I wouldn't have been strong enough to like handle that. And so, yeah, there's like, I was navigating the physical realm of disease like very early on and way before, yeah, I really understood like the gravity of how serious my condition was. And kind of ever since the cancer diagnosis, like, sure, I had support from, you know, very, very talented and skilled individuals to develop a protocol for myself versus like everything that I already knew anyway and everything I had done like up until that point. But I really became obsessed with energy like more than ever. And so it's really like telling that this is the first like major podcast that I'm on, and it's about spirituality, because like I've navigated through so much physical stuff and I'm very, very good at it. But lately I've just been like, I think cancer, like dealing with your own mortality too, it's like, I can actually, I can, there's this cancers, I have this cancer series on YouTube where you can watch me pull a tumor out of my boob using black salve, which is like its own conversation. But I can, I've watched that series like so many times, and it was medicine for me, but I also wanted it to be medicine for whoever watched it and for it to be like a healing experience, just to like be able to witness the whole thing in the way that I put it together. And I can watch myself going through a spiritual awakening. And there's this moment where I'm just like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, why am I living for other people in any regard? Like, I can't not be myself anymore. I can't pretend to be someone I'm not. I'm not just going to be some way so that people will like me. Like, I don't want those kind of people in my life. Like, there just became, you can just see, like, I was already, like, you know, a spiritual person, but you can really, like, I can watch the light bulbs turning on and just being like, no. And then, gosh, there's layers upon layers upon layers of that. And really just being called to like embody that experience even deeper. But yeah. And then, yeah, I went through a period of like really intense suicidal ideation, especially when I realized I didn't have a place to live. And I just like, I think that's the other reason I became so obsessed with energy, because I'm like, how do I navigate this so that like I am aware enough to understand what's going on so that I don't like leave the planet? And then kind of like the way that I process information is I'll get like really, really into something. And then one day I just sense it's like time to move on to something else. So like when I was in bed, I was bedridden for like, I think around 3 weeks when I pulled the tumor out. And when I got out, when it was like time to get out of bed, I realized like I could like read astrology charts. Like, wow, you know, and like just became really like obsessed with the astrological weather, because like that's what like made sense for me at the moment. And now all of a sudden that's like not as relevant anymore, but I'm like so fascinated with like Joe Dispenza's work and like basically that our thoughts literally create like protein structures in our brain. And those protein structures are what like influence the physical reality. It's like what like the chemicals that our body releases. And so it's not just about like putting your mind in a different place and that'll make you feel better. It's like, no, we're literally like creating bodies, like the chemicals that our body secretes, like with our minds. And that's why change is so uncomfortable, because there's literally like protein structures in your head that like are created to like hold your thoughts. And so if you're like, intentionally like manifesting a new reality for yourself, and, you know, for example, inviting, you know, an experience with a body that doesn't have disease, or yeah, you're like financially, it's like financially done and you're financially provided for, and you know, you're loved and supported and accepted by every single person who's in your life, like truly, and like cherished, you know, and are equally enthusiastic about, you know, it's like very like reciprocal relationships and all that. It's like, it feels very, very uncomfortable because the literal hardware isn't even there.
Yeah.
And so that's like, I know you're doing, like, I don't know when this is going to air, but I'm sure I'm speaking to the choir with like your manifest, because I know you're in like the manifestation, you're leading a manifestation course right now, but it's so powerful. And like, yeah, it's really interesting how like just kind of being obsessed with like energetics and like self-worth and like manifestation. I was like really into human design for a while, you know, and like, and then like it comes like full circle, because it's like I'm really interested in like how I can feel better energetically about like all these rashes that are on my face. And like, if I just like even felt better about this and they didn't even go away, if I just like felt better about the whole thing, like that would be a win, you know? And then it's like really interesting how it all can come back to science, even though it like wasn't what I was looking for. That's kind of like Joe Dispenza's MO, is like, he's not doing anything new per se. He's like taking these experiences of us transmuting energy and like creating new physical realities in our bodies and like in our relationships and in our lives. But like, he's like developing, you know, equipment or like using equipment to like physically observe what's going on when you shift your reality. And that can be like, it's like a whole different, it's just like another level of awareness that I didn't really think I needed, but I've just been like guided into that work lately of just being like, oh, first of all, no wonder it's so hard to literally like change our minds, right? But that, oh gosh, it's so possible. And for those of you who don't know, Joe Dispenza got like hit by a SUV on his bike. And they told him he was gonna like be paralyzed for the rest of his life, or he could like get this surgery. And like, no one had like ever refused a surgery before. He was a he's like a chiropractor by trade, but, and gosh, he must have seemed so insane at the time. And I'm sure that's like how some people view me too, right? Like refusing conventional treatment. But he refused the surgery and he was like, I think there's something in our bodies that can just like heal us. So he spent like the next like 3.5 months in meditation and was like, this is like total miracle story. But yeah, well, I mean, it was not easy. And he like goes into it in his books, but like, he was like up walking and like back to work within like a matter of months. And it just like, it's kind of like with God, like all things are possible. And like, we are fragments of God, like you said. And so like, really like anything is possible. And how do you like retrain your mind to like wrap itself around that versus like the false holographic matrix that will basically just tell you you're fucked like every step of the way, and really like untangling all those knots, you know?
Yeah, it's a ton of work to untangle all those knots. I think the reason that it feels hard when we are installing new beliefs or new thoughts or whatever, like that new hardware, is because not only do we not have those, you know, neural pathways, like he often refers to it in terms of neural pathways, we don't have them. So we're building them. It's like, if you are digging a channel to reroute water, it's hard work. But once the channel is there, it's not hard work anymore. And it almost like it naturally gets bigger and bigger, because as the water flows through it, it just reinforces the channel more and more, right? But so at first we're like digging a new channel, we're creating new neural pathways, and they feel foreign, and it feels like it's hard to connect with it, which I think is why it requires consistency. Like, you know, whatever, we have days where we don't get around to it, but more days than not, I really think we have to tune in and deliberately create these new neural pathways, these new thoughts, like tune into this new timeline, however, whatever words we want to use to describe it. So not only is it hard like that, we're creating something, creating new beliefs, new neural pathways from scratch, but also we have all this false matrix horseshit that is literally screaming at us, telling us that we're going to die. We're going to die, or worse, right? Because like, sometimes death is, it's like, okay, well, that's not that big of a deal. Depends on how you feel about death, but homelessness, or, you know, accidentally taking your family into ruins, or like whatever things, right? Like, we have all this false matrix programming that tells us that we shouldn't even try, that it's totally unsafe to try doing that. And that's what makes it a really challenging path to walk, because And especially like in, I mean, I really appreciate your channel. I think it is medicine for the people watching because you don't see a lot of examples of people who have chosen and are documenting like a different way of addressing their like various diagnoses. And so if you are somebody who is like Joe Dispenza or like you, and you get the diagnosis and you hear what the treatment is, or in your case, you just knew what the treatment was, because everybody knows it's chemo or some form of radiation typically, and your body is just like, no, that's not the way, and your soul is like, that's not the way. It's a very lonely and very isolating if you have nobody else who believes in you or supports you, and you can't look at any examples of other people who have taken that path as well. And so, like, yeah, I really feel like what you're sharing is very, even if you're still in progress, you know, it's not about the end result. Like, to me, too, it's not about, like, oh, Lauren will be successful when she's cancer free. It's like, no, you're just taking a different path. You're making a different choice, and you're letting people see what that looks like without any guarantees at all. And the outcome really isn't the point. The point is like, this is my fucking life. This is my body. I don't personally want to take the, you know, toxicity I've already absorbed through that pesticide spill accident and add to it by having it literally pumped into my body on a protocol. That's not what I want to do. I want to do something different. And I just think it's amazing that you're sharing that. Like, to me, that's the point. That is the outcome. It's just, no, this is my life and I'm doing it the way I want to do it.
Wow. Thank you so much for that reflection. And yeah, like I do, some people I feel like are very like hardy, and it's like the cancer like comes as like a huge surprise or whatever, and they have like pretty strong constitutions. For me, of someone who was already like record-breaking pesticide toxicity, I had done so much work to decrease my toxic load to the point that I wasn't experiencing life debilitating symptoms anymore. Like, who has really been struggling physically for, you know, quite a long time at this point. Like, I sincerely do not believe I would have made it through chemo. So that's like a whole other layer of like, yeah, I sincerely believe that like chemo would have killed me. And, you know, as far as like just being so vulnerable online, and just sharing my path, that was like part of the download that I received, like while I was pulling out the tumor. It was like, you're not gonna do this in secret. It's really interesting. My dad's side of the family, like all of them had like secret cancer that they weren't telling each other about. And so that was part of it. I knew that was
Totally.
like part of undoing the curse generationally. It was like, I'm gonna be like loud and proud about this and kind of like healing the witch wound, which makes it actually like, it makes it sound fluffier than it is, but it's like, yeah, like that's like definitely something that came up was like how I was going to be labeled by society. 'Cause basically if you don't fall into the false holographic matrix, then you're like labeled as a nut, right? Versus like, you know, I've experienced this and it's like weirdly humbling and like imposter syndrome-y at the like all at the same time, which is like, wow, like I have a much greater awareness of what's going on in my body than these doctors do, who went to like years and years and years and years of medical school, who are hundreds and thousands of dollars in debt. And anytime I open up my mouth and speak my truth, it threatens the very existence and validity of what we know today, the mainstream medical system, and all that time that doctors basically spent learning about pharmaceuticals. And like, it's not just, or like surgeons who learn how to like cut out your gallbladder when that's absolutely avoidable, like so easily avoidable. But it's like the point isn't to bash the medical system. It really is to show that there's a different way for people if that's what calls to them. I do not feel that my path is for everyone. I definitely don't think like any like average Joe should just like try to do what I'm doing when they have cancer. Like I've done a lot of work to get myself to this point, and I will continue. At this point, like there's no turning back. I'm so far down the road, like I can't even see where I started. Like I'm just like I'm gone. Like I'm like over the horizon, out of sight. Like I'm like committed, And I think what I'm really, really passionate about is like, yeah, bodily autonomy. And it's so like, that's the other thing with like the false holographic matrix. It's like, and just, yeah, like white supremacist colonialism in general is like, it's really rooted in control over other people's bodies, what people do with their bodies, and, regulating how people interact with their own bodies. And I feel very, very, very passionate about it's your choice, and whatever you're feeling inside of you is real and it's true. And it's like God, universe, like your higher self, like your soul speaking to you, like that is your path. That is the direction that you want to go, and that's like what is correct for you. So like I if conventional treatment in any sense is like what feels like authentic to you, like that's more of like what I'm passionate about is like it's your choice. And it's so like I think really reflective for me to like kind of realize, and it could be like a trauma response too of my parents just like trying to control my body. And that's where it's like no one gets to control your body except for you. And yeah, ultimately kind of like taking that leap of faith. And at that point, I was kind of like just ready to like go out into the woods and like stake myself out and die. I was like, if like I was ready to do that before accept conventional cancer treatment, which would be very, very severe in advanced stage three. It's like double mastectomy, multiple rounds of chemo, radiation, like the whole gambit. And it's like one of those things that like stage four is kind of like a terminal diagnosis, which in the mainstream medical system, even though people have totally healed themselves from stage four cancer naturally, and there's documentation of that, of course it's not like widely talked about, but I'm really glad that I don't have stage four cancer, because that's like basically when it gets into your organs and stuff. But I was kind of secretly hoping that there was no mainstream, like there was like no mainstream solution, so that maybe I'd be more supported going a different route because there was like no other way. But for advanced stage three, it's just like the most intense of like all of the cancer treatments, and like the most intense surgery, the most intense chemo, like the most amount of like radiation you would need, all of that before the system would just give up on you and be like, we can like make you more comfortable until you die or like whatever. And so it was like walking away from like really the most intensive forms of treatment that like I truly do not believe I would have been like constitutionally strong enough to survive, to choose a different way, and then to, yeah, like kind of like realize, remember, and like take back my own power in the process. Like you said, like it's not just physical. And like that's like what Joe Dispenza was saying too. He's like, yeah, like I changed my diet, and like I like had these like physical practices in place. Like we don't want to spiritually bypass the fact that we have physical bodies that need support, but there's like so much spiritual work that goes into that. And then really how it will like completely rock your world and change your life, just in like the way I live is basically like the opposite of how most people live, which is like a culture that kind of makes you ill in the first place.
Yes.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, well, the way that we all live is so, I mean, everybody hears me complain about calendars all the time, but it's just because I look at the calendar on my wall and like I also work by the calendar. It's how I structure my business. This is what we've all agreed upon. So it's very difficult to work with other people and leave that out of the equation. But I look at it and I'm like, this makes no fucking sense. It makes no sense. It's like, even to the fact like that we have a leap year. What the hell is that? Like, why are we doing this? It's so ludicrous. And yet we all struggle so hard to extricate ourselves from it. You know, it's really, and again, that's like one of the examples, like, that's why I call you a grid worker. Cause I'm like, she's just here fucking like going through these very intense initiations to releasing like huge blocks of programming that have us all by the short and curlies in a really, you know, like painful way that is not healthy for any of us. Can I peek into your Akashic records?
Please.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. What is the, like, if you could ask one question, if there's one thing that you're like, I really want to know that, what would it be?
Is it a cop out to ask, what do I most need to know right now?
I mean, kind of, but people ask me that all the time. So we'll just go with that. Okay. All right. Let's see.
What do I most need to see to like transmute this energy that I'm currently being faced with? Like, where does it come from?
Okay. What, okay, so I mean, I saw a whole bunch of stuff, which I'll share with you, but in terms of like what you're transmuting right now, what would you say is the like the transmutation piece that feels a little bit sticky for you?
It's definitely the face rashes and the money and my relationships with other people, if that's not too much to put on top of it.
Okay. Okay, so for the, I mean, it's all kind of tied together, but for the money piece, so first of all, when I first went in, I could see, like, I was just shown a handful of lives that are just in your Akashic field that are kind of the foundation for why this is playing out. So one of them, you were a woman. Maybe like the 1500s or 1600s, something like that. And I don't know why, but I can see that you were tied up by your wrists and your feet. And this rope was given to four different horsemen, and they rode in different directions until your body was pulled apart and you died. And it was a horrible, horrible death. And then I see one where it looks to me like you were institutionalized in an insane asylum, but I don't think you were insane. But I don't like there was something, there was a reason that you were taken there, but you weren't really insane. And it was very disorganized and chaotic and just really intense in that environment. Like very, very depressing. Depressing isn't even the right word. It's just a nightmare. And then I see another one where you were in Indonesia and you were very, very ill and bedridden. But actually, that one feels like really beautiful because, and that's probably the reason that's coming through, is it's like the energy for you to tune into because you were in the community that you were born in, surrounded by your people, and you were taken care of. Like there just wasn't a perception of needing to isolate somebody who is ill or viewing them as a burden or anything like that. It was just like that's what happened if somebody was injured or became sick. Everybody just took shifts taking care of them. Forever until either they got better or they passed away. So that one actually feels really beautiful and full of like green. It feels like it's in your heart chakra, and that's the one to sort of focus in on. And then I also see a life where it was, I don't know how long ago it was, a long time ago, but it feels like I would assume that you were a leper. But I'm just seeing you being bandaged and you were like homeless and begging. And that is the one that comes through in connection with money. It feels like in a lot of your lives, you were poor. A lot of the lives that are active and alive in your field right now, basically, you were poor. And so there's also like a really intense perception of around money of. It being very distant, like feeling distant and foreign to you, like something you are not used to having, and not even like used to having it in large amounts for yourself, as well as some I guess resentment would be the right word, but it's resentment more leaning towards sadness and than anger, but it's a resentment about just seeing other people with the means to help and they don't see you. Like they're just walking by and they don't see you. Okay, so then I'm gonna go back in and see like what can we do? What is to be done with this information? Well, it kind of goes along with the download that you got about your ego deaths being about asking for more, because the challenging piece that I'm detecting anyway, and I feel like there's so much more there than I can possibly go into right now, but the challenging piece is that money feels distant. Like it's like an unfamiliar energy, and even like being in, I don't even want to call it luxury. It's like being in, well, maybe it is luxury. Yeah, let's use the word luxury. Being in luxury feels distant and foreign, and then there are like unsafe associations with it. So that, not saying you've never experienced it, but if you've experienced it, it's not on your terms. It's not luxury that you resonate with. It's not with values that you resonate with. So it feels like an energy that you don't want to familiarize yourself with either. But actually, what would benefit you, especially kind of using what you've been learning through Joe Dispenza, is to imagine yourself convalescing in like really beautiful accommodations that are perfect for you. So it's like acknowledging that you're in this safe place right now, but you have the right, like this is me giving you permission to imagine without it making you ungrateful. Imagine like healing yourself in an environment that is so maybe exquisite. Like it's tailored perfectly to you and what you need without any compromise. So even where you are right now, I can feel there's an energy of settling where it's like, oh, like thank God I have this and I manifested, this perfect place for this season in my life, as you said, but that there's a cap on what you're letting yourself believe you can im even imagine for yourself. And then also imagining receiving money and being able to hold it. And let me see. Yeah. Okay. So it's receiving money and being able to hold it. So just the feeling of like, ooh, like I have some left over and it stays. Like it is, I just get to put it in this like savings account, but it's not a savings. It's not necessarily an account, but it's not like from that energy of like, oh God, for a rainy day, it's going to disappear at some point, just not right now. It's more like, whoo, I just get to like, I get to put this chip there, and then I get to put another chip there, and like, oh, there's a pile. I'm growing a little pile. Look at me. And also, as you imagine yourself in these beautiful accommodations, just feel into it like, I paid for this. Like, I'm here because I paid for it, not because a benefactor paid for it, but because I paid for it. So I can deeply receive it. Like, it's mine.
It's really interesting that you brought up like the leprosy thing, because when I was experiencing my most recent face rashes, that was like the first thing that came up. I was like, I feel like a leper. And then I like talked myself out of it. I'm like, I don't even know what leprosy is. Like, I should, I can't even like say that unless I like Google it or something, which I still haven't, but I still don't actually know what it looks like. But like, it must have brought up just like that memory of like, oh, like here I am again, And like, there's definitely, yeah, that feeling of just kind of being like an outcast from society. I definitely resonate with like being pulled apart by like those horses too. Like, there's just like something inside me that like feels like or like remembers like being punished for just like being who I was and really like living in my power and like that really not working out for me. And yeah, like with the insane asylum, it kind of like brings up all of the like times that I really like was insane in my current lifetime, how differently that was handled. And I was actually talking to someone else about this the other day, because like with the cancer and the Lyme disease and like being housebound and bedridden, I like forget that I even like was diagnosed as bipolar, and I like don't resonate with it at all anymore. I'm incredibly mentally stable, especially for everything that I've been through, and I like completely write that off as something that I'm like, oh yeah, that's just gone. Like I don't give myself any credit for navigating that situation at all, or like probably not even getting a diagnosis of that anymore if I were to go into like a psychiatrist or whatever. And then with like the money thing, like wealth, like whenever I experienced wealth, like it was like the mercy of someone else, and like it wasn't actually mine. Like I actually have like this past life memory of being in an incredibly like wealthy corrupt family, and like I actually like really wish to be like a quote unquote normal person and not be like confined by it all, or it like felt like a like I was like trapped, like I couldn't not survive without my family. And then like just I don't know what happened, but like I was dealing with really powerful people and like made a wrong move and was like murdered or something. Like it was just like what, like it technically was a good life from the outside, but it was actually like very horrible. And so it's like interesting you even going like, you know, further back or just like deeper into it does like money does feel very, very distant and like, yeah, like I don't know if you heard, like I'm like I love where I live, and yeah, like I mean I live like over a detached shop area in the country, and like the garage door went up like a couple times during this conversation. I don't know if the podcast if the mic would like catch that or if it'll like mess up the audio or anything, but it's like yeah, like I don't want someone just to be able to like come under me at any time. I would like for that to not happen, ideally, you know, and just like letting myself want these things and like envision these things is like such an ego death for me, because I'm completely identified with like yeah, like just like this huge limitation of like what I perceive as being possible. So I think yeah, like it actually sounds like really fun. And like I feel like that's like actually like what meditation is supposed to feel like, to feel like not this, because like I feel like people would, you know, they hear about like everything that I'm doing like physically or like for my body or whatever, and they're like, well, you know, like I think the outside is like, wow, she's so disciplined. But like it's not like that at all, actually. Like I do things because I feel better when I do them. They serve me. And honestly, I pay like a huge energetic consequence if I don't. And so it's like my preferred experience. And so with the meditation and like being able to like put myself in, I'm like excited to even entertain the idea of like, what would my like ideal accommodations be? And then with that, just being like, wow, you really haven't completely let yourself go there. And then, yeah, like just stack, just like stacking up some coins for the fun of it. It's like, wow, that's a really fun feeling. Like, I can't wait to immerse myself in that, you know? And just like, yeah, how much that like resonates and kind of like lifts. I can like feel it like kind of like lifting my spirits or like lifting my energy or whatever. So thank you for going in there. I saw at one point, like your like you like kind of like flinched or something. So I was like, whoa, like thank you for doing this for me. That didn't look like very much fun, that part.
Thanks for acknowledging that, because sometimes people don't know. And I think sometimes people think I'm just sitting here, like, you know, closing my eyes, all peaceful, whatever, like making fat stacks of cash, doing readings, but like actually like feeling some degree of the things that I'm seeing. And usually they're not cool at all. They're like pretty intense. So yeah, thanks for even just seeing that micro flinch.
I was like, whoa.
That was probably the horse one. That one was the rough. Oh my God, this world has been so awful and so cruel to so many people. It's just like inconceivable, really, to me, the ways that people have suffered and continue to suffer. To shift it to a slightly higher note, the takeaways kind of for me, especially hearing reflections, are like, okay, so to come back to like, what do I most need to know right now to move through what I'm experiencing? It's like to separate the perception of the body from suffering, which you've already been working on, and then separate the perception of illness and suffering. So illness and suffering don't have to go hand in hand, because that person in Indonesia was not suffering. That person was almost like in a stasis, was just like ill and in such a deep place of trust that everything was happening. And then also everybody was taken care of. I think it was a man in that life, but everyone was taking care of him. And he was like his job. Nobody was like, oh, would he just get over it or like get up? And like, he's fine. He's well enough. There was none of that energy. He was just like, his job was to sit back and allow the processes to happen that needed to happen. And so even though he was experiencing discomfort, it wasn't the same as suffering. And then also take money and alchemize it where it's like, let me see. You have to marry money and freedom, which is a little bit challenging, but given the past life memory that you had of being in that rich family, which is probably why you then had so many, like, even though it doesn't have to happen in like historical succession, but if that life was as intense as it felt for you, then that's possibly why your other lives were more like povertous, because you were like, fuck that. Like, you made the association between that and money. And so now you just have to like bring those two together where it's like money and freedom. Yeah.
And yeah, like that feeling, because I feel like that was like a really key point, like in like the envisioning the accommodations being like, I paid for this, you know, versus like something else. So, or someone else or some rich family money that like blood all over, like whatever,
right?
But wow, yeah, thank you so much. And that guy in Indonesia, I can feel myself, it very, very recently, but I can like feel myself kind of going there. And it's actually really interesting, because like things that I used to go to like my family about, the first thing I do now is email my list. And it's like, I mean, you're part of my email list, so like I tell you guys a lot of stuff.
Yep.
And after I send like really vulnerable messages, I just like feel like I'm gonna vomit. So I'm like, why did you just like tell everyone that? But it's like, I don't know how to say it. It's like something that like God tells me to do. It's like a whole other form of ego death. It's like, I don't want to admit I'm suffering at all. But it's like, actually, these are the people that are supporting me through this illness and aren't asking for anything in return and aren't putting on me like, wouldn't you just get over it by now? Or, oh, you're so sensitive. Or, you know, when do you think you'll be able to like work again? Or, you know, any of these like internalized narratives I have from like wired society. And ultimately, like, you know, I've internalized, you know, it's like, obviously my family didn't invent these narratives, but they've definitely, I think, through like subconscious behavior, like just perpetuated them. And I've always felt this need to like just buck up already, you know, versus just like letting myself being taken care of, because that's never actually, I don't think I've been actually given like any real examples of that until like hints of it as of late, and just being so humbled by the support I have received from, you know, people who are like obviously familiar with my work, but like people I didn't know, you know? And so from my perception, it's like, wow, not only are people watching and like resonating with my content and benefiting from it, but like for me, it just feels like I'm getting more support from like random strangers on the internet than I've ever gotten from my own family. And it's actually very healing, just knowing that it's possible and like experiencing it and like knowing that it's out there. And so just like being able to bask in that feeling more, it's like, yeah, like that's just as real, if not more real, than like everything you experienced growing up. So
totally. And it totally, exactly. And it's like putting, like, if you have it on scales, right? Like, so there's everything you experienced growing up and all the narratives and the programming. And then there's, you know, now I'm listening to you and I'm like, oh, your email list, we're your village people. That's where I know you from. Like, we probably were in that life in Indonesia, and we're all like, virtually we'll surround you, love you. And so it's like, you got to put the chips on that side of the scale, you know, or the weights, you know, so that that's the side that amplifies, and let the other side just kind of fade away as it does.
Wow. Oh, thanks for being part of my village. I'm so glad you're here.
Me too. Lauren, this has been such a great conversation. I feel like it went by so freaking fast. It's crazy. And if I didn't have to go pick up my kids from school, I would just keep talking to you. I'm like kind of sad because there's so much in your Akashic records that I want to go into. So we'll figure that out, because there's more that wants to be seen for sure. But thank you for being here. And can you share with the audience like where they can find you and anything you've got going on that you want them to know about? Also, everything will be linked in the show notes, so you guys can easily click on the link in the show notes.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. Well, I have courses that show how to go into and implement the GAPS protocol. So that's what Amy and I were talking about earlier, and it is very involved. So the course is incredibly helpful. And like, I've heard that like detail, like you can't actually do it just from like reading the book. So that's why I made them. And that's like what the courses that Amy is in. And then I have a fundraiser. It's called Fighting Cancer Alone. And I'm, you know, just going to lean into the fact more than ever that I'm feeling less and less and less alone. But the link to the fundraiser will be in that too. And I have YouTube that kind of shows my experience leading up to the cancer, going through the cancer, evolving through the cancer, and yeah, like everything I've been up to. But a donation will give you a ticket to season 3, so you can see what keeps happening. My friend and I are putting together a fundraising event, and it's called The Oasis. And it's kind of like a girls' night in kind of vibe for people who are in any stage of their healing journeys that are, you don't have to be like on the GAPS protocol, but you do need to be kind of like devoted to certain principles and versus like wavering whether or not it's for you, just to keep a safe space and a cohesive space for everyone. But it's going to be, it's not a class. It's not like, I mean, we're going to learn a lot from each other, but it's going to be centered around like each person's experience. So I'm holding the container and it's my job to keep it safe, but everyone who shows up will be centered in their own journeys. And then you can have the, you can bring whatever you want to the group. I think everyone will have around like 8 to 10 minutes of like sharing time. And also you can open up as much of that time to either receiving advice or just like hearing other people's experiences. And then as a party favor, you'll get whoever wants to share their contact information, because I've met the most amazing people through my YouTube channel, like literally like my favorite people I've ever met before. And I'm actually creating this a little bit out of anger, because, you know, it's like, for example, there's like a lot of like cancer support groups. There's no cancer support groups for whatever I'm going through. So this is like, for people who are taking an approach outside of the mainstream medical culture, obviously you don't have to have cancer to join the group, but like anything that you are kind of like working on healing from a different lens, like you're invited. Like, I just want us to all like get together and like hang out and share experiences, like, yeah, like the alchemy of, and like the level of healing that we can all experience just by like being in presence with each other. And I'm also very passionate about like, sometimes you don't want advice, you know? Sometimes right. You just want people to be like, oh yeah, me too, you know? But it's also even like a space for like, oh my gosh, what is everyone else eating? Like, it can be as simple as that to like a massive, you know, transformation that you're going through that's really uncomfortable or whatever. So it's just to like create a space for the experience of the healing journey. So
yeah, I think that's awesome. It's like building community around just an alternative approach to healing, and just, yeah. So it almost feels like when I'm feeling into what you're describing, I'm like, yeah, it feels like a hangout where you just, I don't know, like break bread. Like, I'm not talking about literally eating, but like break bread, so to speak, with other people who can hold your experience because they're going through something similar enough anyway.
Right. Cause like, yeah, it is like lonely and isolating, taking a different path than everyone. And so I think that's like where I downloaded the name Oasis, but when I like thought about it logically afterwards, it's like, yeah, like no one's going to go through this journey with you, and like ultimately you're the only one that's going to experience like being in your specific body, right? But like when you're walking through the desert and you're like, I don't know if I can go any longer, and then you find this like oasis in the middle of the desert, it like gives you the strength to keep going. And that's like ultimately what I want to come from this experience. So
awesome. Well, I'll make sure that this podcast goes out before that. And then, you know, I'll share all my stories, like anything, your details firm up and whatever, I'll share about it too.
All right. Wow. Thanks, baby. Thank you so much.
Yeah, totally. It sounds like it's an amazing thing for anybody who might be looking for it. So Well, thank you, Lauren, for coming on my show. This has been a long-awaited conversation. I just loved spending this time with you and getting to like actually conversate with you, not just in DMs, and getting to explore your Akashic records a little bit. Thank you so much for sharing your journey and your wisdom and just like what, you know, your perspective on how everything is unfolding along your path.
This has been such a gift, Amy. Thank you so much for having me, and I've really, really enjoyed talking with you as well. So, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And thank you, beautiful listeners, so much for your time and the valuable currency of your attention. You just mean so much to me. I trust that this episode served you beautifully. And, you know, whatever, rate, review, subscribe, and share as you feel called. And have a beautiful day or night wherever you are, my friends. I'll catch you on the next episode.
Well, that's a wrap. I truly hope that you enjoyed the episode and that you got some good activations, insights, and inspiration from what was shared today. I want to give a shout out to May, who edits all of these podcast episodes. And I want to thank you, beautiful listener, for the valuable currency of your time and attention. You are a powerful creator. And may everything in this podcast serve you in your highest fucking creations. Your listenership means the world to me, truly. I cannot possibly express my appreciation enough for you and your being here with me on this journey. If you enjoyed the episode, please take a moment to rate, review, subscribe, and share. And have a beautiful day or night wherever you are. I will catch you on the next episode.